The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The following articles are from Black Enterprise Magazine. The first article is titled, New Book on Vice President Kamala Harris Provides Different Look at First Black Female Vice President. Kamala Harris's run to history as the first Black and Asian American female vice president has been chronicled in a photographic biography to be published November 16th. In Vice President Kamala Harris, Her Path to the White House, author Malika Audero delivers a new look into the HBCU graduate and vice president with more than 100 photographs, quotes, and commentaries and highlights from some of her campaign speeches. Photo editor Christopher Meesum collaborated with Audero to give an in-depth look at the more private side of Harris. According to the Washington Examiner, Audero, a Black woman, has worked on other books with Black celebrities, including Spike Lee, T.D. Jakes, George Clinton, Walter Mosley, Zane, Pearl Cleeg, and Blair Underwood. Audero told the Examiner she believes Vice President Kamala Harris, Her Path to the White House, can serve as a primer on Harris and her life. As a researcher, I went to local news media in Jamaica and India, where her parents are from. They had a lot to say about Kamala, said Audero. There was a conversation that this woman was one of us. The book splits Harris's personal and political life into three sections. The first section, An American Girl, gives readers an insight into her life growing up in California during the 1960s. Harris saw activism during the early years of her life as the world began to change during the time with the Black Panther Party and the push for gay rights. The second section focuses on Harris's educational and cultural influences, which includes her time at Howard University, where she was a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. According to Audero, Harris's time at Howard helped her form a close support system, many of which were also included in her run to the 2020 presidential election. The third section, which Audero says is her favorite, focuses on how Harris interacts with others and how they respond to her. This section also includes photos of Harris with parishioners, a drumline, politicians, President Biden, her husband, Douglas Imhoff, and her family. In her role as vice president, Harris has dealt with significant issues plaguing the U.S. today, including the southern border, criminal justice reform, and the coronavirus pandemic. The next article is titled, Two Men Convicted in Malcolm X's Assassination to be Exonerated. According to officials involved in the case, Manhattan prosecutors will move to vacate the convictions of two men who served decades in prison for the murder of civil rights activist Malcolm X. Muhammad A. Aziz, who previously went by the name Norman 3X Butler, was one of the three men convicted for the murder of the civil rights icon at the ballroom in Upper Manhattan in 1965. Aziz was released in 1985 and has maintained his claim of innocence. The other man likely to be exonerated is Khalil Islam, aka Thomas 15X Johnson, who maintained his innocence until he died in 2009. A Netflix documentary on Malcolm X's assassination released last year raised new questions and doubts about the two men, prompting New York District Attorney Cyrus Vance to review the case. Vance's team found prosecutors, the NYPD, and FBI withheld key evidence that would have led to the acquittal of the two men. Vance apologized for the failure of law enforcement at a news conference Wednesday. This points to the truth that law enforcement over history has often failed to live up to its responsibilities, Vance said. These men did not get the justice that they deserved. Vance and the Innocence Project, part of Aziz's legal team, made the announcement Wednesday in the New York State Supreme Court. The announcement did not name the two men, but two people close to the situation identified the two men, according to the Washington Post. Malcolm X's assassination has been a fiercely debated topic since the day he was shot and killed on February 21, 1965. Theories on Malcolm X's murder include a government or federal law enforcement conspiracy and theories claiming the involvement of the Nation of Islam because they felt he became larger than their movement. The Netflix documentary explores the possibility that the civil rights leader was killed by members of the Nation of Islam from Newark, living in plain sight while Aziz and Islam were in jail. The next article is titled, Alabama's Lone Des County Has No Municipal Sewer Service. The 1964 Civil Rights Act may change things for the mostly black county. Alabama's Lone Des County has sanitation conditions so outdated, most residents have their own septic systems. Now, the Biden administration is using the situation as a test case for environmental justice. The administration is applying Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which has never been used before. Advocates say it could lay the groundwork for how the federal government addresses some of the worst environmental issues plaguing communities of color across the country. This could set quite a significant precedent, John Greenbaum, chief counsel for the Lawyers Committee for Human Rights, told Market Watch. Lone Des County, located in the middle of the state, has never had a wastewater system, but in a town where the median income was $30,000 in 2019 and 27% of residents live in poverty, it gets almost no attention. In 2017, a United Nations representative commented on the situation in Lone Des County. In Alabama, I saw various houses in rural areas that were surrounded by cesspools of sewage that flowed out of broken or non-existent septic systems. The state health department had no idea of how many households exist in these conditions, despite the grave health consequences, nor did they have any plan to find out or devise a plan to do something about it, said Professor Philip Austin, United Nations Special Rapporteur on Extreme Poverty and Human Rights. The representative also pointed out that the county's racial makeup could be why the issue has never been resolved. Since the great majority of white folks live in the cities, which are well served by government-built and maintained sewage systems, and most of the rural folks in the areas like Lone Des County are black, the problem doesn't appear on the political or governmental radar screen. Residents have tried to remedy the situation on their own, but ran into a wall. Local activists worked with Sherry Bradley, director of the State Bureau of Environmental Services, She raised more than $690,000 from local businesses and individuals to secure a grant from the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA. However, in July, a dispute between the group that raised funds and the Lone Desk County Commission over who sat on the sewer board. The situation resulted in Bradley returning the money to the donors and the grant back to the USDA. Earlier this month, the Justice Department announced it will conduct an environmental justice investigation into the water disposal program and infectious diseases and outbreaks program in a manner that discriminates against Black residents of Lone Desk County. Because the Justice Department announced the investigation, depending on the outcome, Lone Desk County could lose funding for law enforcement rather than for public health or environmental issues. The next article is titled, Julius Jones's Life is Spared, Won't Be Executed After Receiving Clemency by Oklahoma Governor. This article was written November 18, 2021. Julius Jones, a Black man who has spent 20 years on death row, who was scheduled to be executed today at 4 p.m., was granted clemency by Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt. The HuffPost reports. Stitt had not made a decision on whether to grant Jones clemency, according to CNN, but after the Oklahoma Pardon and Parole Board voted 3-1 to commute Jones's sentence to life in prison with the possibility of parole, Stitt finally stepped in. Jones will now serve life without parole. Personally, I believe in death penalty cases, there should be no doubts. And put simply, I have doubts about the case, Board Chairman Adam Luck said in September at Jones's first clemency hearing. Many activists put pressure on Stitt to make a decision, even protesting outside his office. Reality star Kim Kardashian was pivotal in fighting for Jones to receive clemency and posted a message thanking the governor for his intervention. Jones's mom, Madeline Davis Jones, spoke Wednesday night with dozens of Jones's supporters behind her. Monday, you know, I was denied. And I know denied is not delayed. But today, I had high expectations to hug my son. I saw him, but I've been seeing him through a glass. A lot of people think I get to hug him. I didn't get to hug him, said Davis Jones. Jones was sentenced to death for the 1999 murder of Paul Howell, but has maintained his innocence along with family and supporters. In 2018, an ABC documentary series, The Last Defense, spotlighted Jones's case. Howell was killed in a carjacking on July 28, 1999. That night, Howell, his sister, and his children pulled into his parents' driveway. According to court documents, as Howell's sister and his kids were gathering their stuff to exit the vehicle, Howell's sister heard a gunshot. Howell's sister said she saw a Black man wearing a red bandana over his face. The man shot again, and the girls ran into the house. Howell died later, early the next morning. Jones was arrested 3 days later when police discovered the gun wrapped inside a red bandana in his family's home. Co-defendant Christopher Jordan testified against Jones and received 30 years after pleading guilty to first-degree murder. To this day, Howell's family believes Jones is responsible for the death of Paul Howell. The case, however, has several issues and inconsistencies. The clemency petition cites several people saying Jordan admitted to killing Howell and hid the gun in Jones's home. Jordan was released in 2014. His attorney, Billy Bock, told ABC in September that his client maintains his role as an accomplice. More than 6 million people have signed a petition saying Jones is on death row due to fundamental breakdowns in the system tasked with deciding his guilt, including inexperienced and ineffective defense lawyers, prosecutorial misconduct, and racial bias among the jury. The case has also gained the attention of celebrities including Kim Kardashian, Kerry Washington, and Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield, who have all lent their voice to the effort to get Jones's sentence commuted. It is a shame it has gotten so far, Mayfield, who played at the University of Oklahoma, told reporters Wednesday as he teared up. Hopefully, God can intervene and handle it correctly and do things he needs to do. The next article is titled, Hundreds Arrested Outside White House on Second Day of Voting Rights Protest. Hundreds of protesters marched down Black Lives Matter Plaza to the White House, where they demanded President Joe Biden make no more excuses for not passing voting rights protections. According to Yahoo News, more than 100 protesters were arrested outside the White House Wednesday. While Biden has often supported and discussed the need for a comprehensive voting rights bill, he's done little to pass it as Republicans have blocked voting rights legislation twice. Now, civil rights groups and protesters are putting more pressure on the White House, which is still celebrating the signing of Biden's infrastructure bill. Mr. President, we want you to succeed, and we will stand with you, but we need you to fight against the filibuster because it is being used to fight against us and bring down our democracy. Dr. Reverend William Barber, one of the organizers of the mass protest, said, standing alongside the crowd of demonstrators, "We also need you to invite us in to talk to you in the White House. You need to bring religious leaders and women activists and poor and loneliest people, the people you say you care about. You need them in the Oval Office." The passing of Biden's bill was supposed to be an opportunity for Biden's White House to show Democrats their belief in him was well-founded. However, Republicans, with the help of Democratic Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, have cut into the bill, and now staples of the bill, including climate change, child care, and housing, are pending. Barber was among those arrested by the National Park Service Thursday and said he believes the delay in processing the protesters was a deliberate attempt to discourage future protests. Biden isn't the only Democrat being pressured on voting rights. The National Urban League, NAACP, and the National Action Network have released a report grading lawmakers on their voting record and saying U.S. politicians are failing them. The next article is titled, Kyle Rittenhouse, Teen Who Shot Three Protesters in Wisconsin, Found Not Guilty on All Five Counts. This article was written November 19th, 2021. Kyle Rittenhouse, who shot three people, killing two during the protests of a black man who was shot by police, was found not guilty on all accounts. Jurors in the case deliberated for more than 3 days and cleared the teen of homicide, attempted homicide, and several other charges related to the August 2020 shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Rittenhouse, who was 17 at the time, shot and killed Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber and injured Gage. Rittenhouse testified that he acted in self-defense, fearing for his life. The trial received nationwide attention, was marked by strange conduct by the judge, Bruce Schroeder. During closing arguments Monday, prosecutors said Rittenhouse provoked the shootings when he pointed his assault rifle at Rosenbaum during a protest for Jacob Blake, who was shot in the back by Kenosha police officer Rustin Chisky in August 2020. That is what provoked the entire incident, prosecutor Thomas Benger said. When the defendant provokes this incident, he loses the right to self-defense. You cannot claim self-defense against a danger you create. Rittenhouse's defense attorney, Mark Richards, said his client acted in self-defense when he shot Rosenbaum, arguing the man threatened Rittenhouse, chased him, threw a plastic bag at him, and lunged for his gun. When my client shot Joseph Rosenbaum, he feared for his life. He feared because of his prior threats, prior statements, and the violent acts that had been witnessed by my client, Richards said. After the shooting, a group of people began pursuing the teenager, and Rittenhouse testified he shot in self-defense at a man who tried to kick him, fatally shot Anthony Huber, who had hit him with a skateboard, and shot Gage, who was armed with a pistol. More than a dozen videos from the night of August 25th, 2020 were shown during the trial, giving a timeline as to what happened before, during, and after the shooting. Most of the facts of what happened that night were not debatable. Rather, the heart of the trial was the analysis of Rittenhouse's actions and whether they can be considered reasonable. The next article is titled, Eric Garner Jr. Blasts New York Black Lives Matter Leader for Threat of Violence, Riots If Plainclothes Cops Are Reinstated by Eric Adams. Eric Garner Jr. has taken issue with comments made by Hawk Newsom, the leader of the Greater New York Black Lives Matter chapter, BLM. Last week, Newsom said there'd be riots and bloodshed if Mayor-elect Eric Adams reinstates a plainclothes police unit that was disbanded. Garner blasted Newsom's words, telling the New York Post Newsom should take back what he said. Hawk Newsom threatening to burn down our city in response to Mayor-elect Eric Adams' proposal of bringing back the anti-crime unit in plain clothes is an insult to injury to my family and the movement at large, Garner said. On behalf of the entire movement, I must ask you to retract your statement and redirect that righteous anger to help all of us form a more constructive way of accomplishing our goals, because at the end of the day, we got. I will not let you or anyone else jeopardize our progress. Newsom did not respond to Garner, but did tell the Post, God bless him and his fight for justice for his father. Adams has been adamant about reinstating plainclothes cops in an effort to curb gun violence and make the city safe for its tourism industry, which has suffered due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Newsom and the New York BLM chapter protested the move outside of Adams' office, believing it will bring the city back to the days of stop and frisk, when black residents were overwhelmingly targeted by cops under the Bloomberg administration. Adams defended his idea the next day, telling the reporters, I made it clear on the campaign trail. I'm going to put it in place, not the anti-crime unit. I'm going to put in place a plainclothes gun unit. The plain closed police unit was disbanded by current police commissioner Dermont Shea, who is not expected to keep the job under Adams. Front runners to replace Shea include Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best, Philadelphia top cop Danielle Outlaw, and former Newark Police Chief Yvonne Roman. Garner Jr.'s father, Eric Garner Sr., was choked to death by NYPD officer in 2014 after police confronted Garner on suspicion of selling single cigarettes from packs without tax stamps. Garner's screams of "I can't breathe" became a mantra for BLM leaders and protesters. The next article is titled, President Kamala Harris Makes History at the White House Again. Vice President Kamala Harris now holds the distinction of being the first woman to hold the office of Commander-in-Chief of these United States. Harris, of course, was only sworn in as president temporarily due to a surgical procedure which President Joe Biden had to undergo on Friday. Ahead of his routine colonoscopy, Biden sent a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy, president pro tempore of the Senate, to request that all presidential powers be transferred to Harris at 10:10 Eastern Time, right before he went under anesthesia, CNN reports. Today, I will undergo a routine medical procedure requiring sedation, the president's letter read. In view of present circumstances, I have determined to transfer temporarily the powers and duties of the Office of President of the United States to the Vice President during the brief period of my procedure and recovery. It is standard practice for a sitting president to transfer his authority to the sitting vice president whenever he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, a provision laid out by Article 3 of the 25th Amendment. The last time this provision was applied was in 2002 when President George W. Bush underwent the same procedure, making Vice President Dick Cheney president for a few minutes. As the first female, first Black, and first South Asian vice president, Harris's 85 minutes as president breaks new ground historically. In a memoir published last month, former White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham insinuates that while in office, the former President Donald Trump also underwent a colonoscopy during a secret visit to Walter Reed Medical Center, the same facility where President Biden was treated on Friday. However, Grisham writes, Trump chose not to share news of his visit publicly to avoid having to cede power to then Vice President Mike Pence for the duration of his surgery. Biden, who at 79 is the oldest first-term president in U.S. history, resumed his duties at 11:35. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.